Let's open the meeting tonight by singing hymn number 23 in our gospel hymn sheet. Number 23, Grace, 'tis a charming sound, harmonious to the ear. Heaven with the echo will resound, and all the earth shall hear.
28 out.
Sorry, number 28. Somebody raise it to me. Number 28.
Grace is a charming sound.
Let's ask the Lord's blessing on his word and the gospel tonight. We come before thee at the start of this gospel, our loving Father, and we pray that as the gospel goes forth tonight, that if there's anyone here in this room that doesn't know of thy sovereign grace, that grace that picks up the very worst sinner and saves them, makes them thine, we thank thee for that grace that is available to each one. And we thank thee, Lord Jesus, for thy precious work on Calvary's cross. We thank thee for willingly going to that cross and dying for us and shedding thy life's blood for us. We thank thee for bearing our sins there in thine own body in the tree. And we thank thee, too, that we have the wonderful hope of soon seeing thee face to face, being with thee and like thee in that coming scene of glory. We know that thou art coming again, coming to receive thine own and take us home to the Father's house. But we're burdened tonight for those that would be in this room tonight that are still lost in their sins, that haven't found that matchless sovereign grace, that charming sound grace, great riches at Christ's expense. We thank thee for it tonight. And we ask thee to help us as we open thy precious word tonight, that we might glean something from thy precious word, and that there might be something for those that would be in the audience that are still lost and in their sins. Perhaps there's one young person here tonight that has never confessed thee as Lord and Savior. We pray that tonight they might decide for Christ tonight. We ask this, loving Father, in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Grace. Grace. And that's what I want to speak about tonight. That's been on my heart. Grace. Grace. Look at Luke chapter 7, first of all. Luke chapter 7, verse 41. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast judged righteously. I want you to know tonight that there stands before you tonight one who is a 500 pence debtor. One whom God's sovereign grace saved when I was a young man. I was a young man. And I wonder, as we look around the room tonight here, and just before the gospel meeting tonight, I was watching all the young people scampering around the room here, running, playing, bouncing balls, and having a good time. And that's good. That's good. Youthful energy, and you can spend those times between meetings and just play. And that's good. But you know something? Right now, tonight, for this 3/4 of an hour that we're going to have in preaching the gospel, this is a very serious time. A very serious time for you. And I want you to listen closely. Because, you know, if you're not saved, God wants to save your precious soul tonight. He does. And you know what it says in the precious word of God? It says, this is the faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Isn't that wonderful that we can say tonight that God 2,000 years ago sent his beloved son here into this world. And that blessed one came into this world, the holy spotless Lamb of God. God could look down as we read this morning upon that blessed one and say, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. He never did any sin. There was no sin in his life. He was the sinless humanity. But he went to Calvary's cross. Why? First of all, wicked man, your heart and mine put the Lord Jesus up there in that cross. But he became the sin bearer. We can say that who himself bore our sins in his own body in the tree. To think of those long dark hours on Calvary's cross when he was there and suffering. Suffering the penalty of my sins. He was there. It was an account of me that he was there. Bearing my sins. He did it all for me on Calvary's cross. Why? Why did he do that? Because he loved me. And in Galatians 2 and 20, we find those precious words, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And dear one, tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ loves you. He loves you with an everlasting love. And he doesn't want to send you to a hell. No, he doesn't. It's the last thing that God wants to do. He says in the, I think it's Ezekiel 33, he says, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked would turn from his evil way and live. And then he says, turn ye, for why will ye die? And so the plea of the gospel tonight is, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so it's wonderful, isn't it, that the gospel can go out again. God is giving you another chance to be saved. Yes, he is. And I'm finding that in the last little while, over and over again, of how that we have met individuals where God, it seems, is giving them another chance to be saved. Another chance to be saved. And you know, a very solemn thing tonight. This may be your last chance to be saved. This may be your last chance to be saved. Don't put it off. Don't do it. Don't wait. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Don't wait. Don't do like I did and wait till I was a young man before I got saved. Go out and sow my wild oats as it was when I was a young man. Don't do it. This world has nothing to offer you, but Christ has everything to offer you. The love of his heart to you. Wonderful. What a wonderful God it is. What a wonderful Savior. And I say this to you tonight. You haven't lived until you found the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight I want to go back to you to the chapter that we've been taking in the reading meeting. And I want to read some verses there. You'd think that we've gone through the second chapter of Ephesians and we haven't gleaned it all. No, you know, the Word of God will never get to the bottom of it. It's precious. It's precious. It's wonderful. And the reason why I want to read these verses, first of all, I'll read them, and then I'll tell you. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Think of that. For his great love wherewith he loved you. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ by grace. That beautiful word, grace. Grace, are ye saved? How did I get saved? Through sovereign grace. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I want to bring before you in the time allotted tonight three persons in the Word of God that was outstanding grace. Outstanding grace. And as we look at them, it's so precious. But there's another one that's outstanding grace that God showed. And that's this person here. This person here. Outstanding grace that God showed that he could save a wretch like me. That he could do that. How wonderful, isn't it? I'll tell the story again. You know, I grew up in a Christian home. And we're going to come to that in a little while. And I was a bad guy. Yes, I was. Real bad. I did everything that this world could do. But God saved me in his matchless grace. I, dear one tonight, was a 500 pence debtor. And he saved me. And he can save you tonight. My sister-in-law said this, Al, if the Lord can save you, there's hope for my son. The Lord saved both of us. We've both been gathered and going on through weakness all these years. I'm a trophy of His grace. How about you? This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. You can be just a 50 pence debtor, or you can be a 500 pence debtor. But you need to be saved. You need Christ as your Savior. And so I ask you tonight, are you saved? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior? Those sins that you have committed have separated you from a holy God. God cannot have sin in His presence, but He's provided a way through His Son, the Lord Jesus, and His precious work on Calvary's cross. And I'm going to tell you tonight that the Lord Jesus is coming. Coming to take all His own that know Him as Lord and Savior of their life. And we're going to hear that shout that is going to take us out of this scene and into His very presence. Maybe this very night. Exciting, isn't it? How wonderful to think that we could be home with the Lord Jesus tonight. But to be left behind in your seat. I know what it's like. I was sitting in a seat like that years ago. There was a man by the name of Stanley McDowell that came into our meeting, and he would preach the gospel of tears were just flowing down his face as fast as they would come out. And he would preach the gospel faithfully. And I sat in so many of those and never confessed Christ as my Savior. Thank God He saved me. By grace are ye saved. That's me. He saved me. Now how about you? He can save you tonight. You can be saved sitting right in your seat. Little boy, little girl here tonight, sitting beside your mom and father. Are you saved? Your mom, your dad can't save you. No, it can't. It's only the Lord Jesus can save you. All you have to do is bow your head while you're sitting in your seat and ask, Lord Jesus, save me. I'm a sinner. I need the Lord Jesus as my own personal Savior. Have you done that yet? It says decide for Christ tonight. Tomorrow may be too late. It says behold now is the accepted time. Behold now is the day of salvation. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. The time to come to Christ is when you're young. Have you done it yet? By grace are ye saved through faith, and that out of yourselves is the gift of God. 2 Samuel chapter 9. How many times have we been in a gospel meeting and we've heard the story of Mephibosheth? How many times? I know I've heard it many times in the gospel. Do you ever get tired of it? I don't get tired of it. It's a precious, precious chapter. What is this? What is this? All I can see written all over this chapter, grace. Grace. Here is Mephibosheth. It says, and in the first verse, and David said, "Is there any that is left of the house of Saul that I might show the kindness for Jonathan's sake, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his kindness towards us?" Through Christ Jesus. Isn't that beautiful? You know, to become a child of God, you know, He just blesses you every day of your life. What a God we have. And it doesn't stop there. It goes on for the ages to come. Beautiful, isn't it? What a Savior. What a God we have. And this is the one that we're going to spend in eternity with. How I am so excited about the future. And I say this, and I ask this, is that your future? It's mine. And you can have it. It's through sovereign grace. Nothing that I've done. Not of works, lest any man should boast. No, you can't. Only one way to heaven. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The only Savior of sinners. There's only one man that can save you. Jesus. The Lord Jesus. And here is this man. David wanted to show him kindness. Now what was he? He was a cripple. He was a cripple. He fell. His nurse picked him up. And he fell. And he was crippled. Couldn't do a thing. Now you say, what would God, what would David want with a man like Mephibosheth? What would he want? He said, I want to show him kindness for Jonathan's sake. And you know, God wants to show you kindness for Jesus' sake. It's all been done for you on Calvary's cross. And here we find in this chapter, I won't go through the chapter, I don't have that much time. We go through the chapter, what do we find? There's a man by the name of Ziba. What is he? If you look through, if you read through the chapter, you'll find this, that Ziba was always active. He was always doing something. He was always, he was a man that did things. He was a man of works. And you know, that's what it says there in Ephesians 2. Not of works, lest any man should boast. There's not one thing, dear friend, that you can do to merit your salvation. It's all been done for you on Calvary's cross. The Lord Jesus could say, it is finished. Everything's been done. All I have to do is come as a guilty, lost sinner before a holy God, and he'll save me. That's it. Isn't that wonderful? How simple it is. God didn't ask you to do something complicated to get saved. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And what does he do? He says, Mephibosheth, I'm gonna bring you into my house and I'm gonna sit you down at my table as one of the king's sons. Isn't that wonderful? As one of the king's sons. And we've been brought, dear one, that know the Lord Jesus as our Savior, into a family. And here we are today, this weekend. Families brought together. Isn't that wonderful? How blessed this is. What a, it's been a, I love this weekend. It's really nice. To meet all of our brethren. And there was Mephibosheth, and it said, he sat at the king's table and ate of the king's meat. As one of the king's sons. I like that. As one of the king's sons. It has often been said that if you saw Mephibosheth sitting at David's table, you would wonder which one was Mephibosheth. You know what you had to do? You had to look under the table. And there you would have found that Mephibosheth was the one with the crippled feet. And it looks, and it, when I see it myself, I say, it's just like me. My sins are all gone. I've been brought into rich blessings. How wonderful that is. But then, something more. Something more precious. What did he do? He brought me this morning to sit on that chair over there and eat of the king's meat. to remember Him in His death for me this morning. How precious that is. What a wonderful privilege to be gathered to the precious name of the Lord Jesus and to remember Him because it was well with us. And to think upon Him, to praise His blessed name. Little boy, little girl here tonight, you're sitting in your chair. Have you ever done this? Lord Jesus, thank you for dying on Calvary's cross for my sins. Have you ever done that? That's what the Lord Jesus wants to hear from you. Grace fetched Mephibosheth out of a place of no pasture and made him sit at the king's table. Grace has brought each one of us here today to sit at the king's table and eat at the king's meal. Grace! Super grace! Let's go to, I'm just going for three of them. There is just many in the precious word of God that God showed grace to. Matchless grace. But there's one that stands out. Second Chronicles chapter 33. Second Chronicles chapter 33. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. I'm just going to stop there. Manasseh reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. He was 12 years old when he ascended the throne. I'm going to ask for a show of hands tonight, if this is all right. Is there a 12-year-old boy or a 12-year-old girl? There's one. We got one. Two. Now just think of this. 12-year-old boy, 12-year-old girl. Manasseh was 12 years old when he ascended the throne. He reigned for 55 years. Manasseh was one of the most wicked kings that ever ascended the throne. And because of the sin of Manasseh, God had to carry away the children of Israel into Babylon. Because of his awful, awful sins that he committed. And you wonder why God allowed this for 55 years. There's a reason. Would you turn with me, first of all, just hold your places there and go to Jeremiah chapter 3. I hope it's Jeremiah 3. Maybe somebody can help me. Wilt thou not from this time cry unto me, my Father, thou art the guide of my youth? Verse 4. Thank you very much. Jeremiah chapter 3. I'm breaking in a new pair of eyes and glasses. Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 4. Wilt thou not from this time cry unto me, my Father, thou art the guide of my youth. I love this verse. It's an incredible verse. What do you need? What do you need in your youth? You need a guide. What do you need when you get old as I am? You need a guide still? For every day of my life, I need a guide. What else do I need? I need a father. I need a father. And dear young people, here's the verse for you tonight. Will you not, from this time, from this very moment on tonight, say, my Father? Can you say that tonight of a truth and say, he's my Father? My Father? What is that? That's a relationship that you've been brought into. If you're a child of God, you have a Father in heaven. And the prayer is this. Wilt thou not from this time say unto me, my Father, thou art the guide of my youth. Young man, young girl here tonight, you're in your youth, you need a guide. The Lord Jesus is your guide. This precious book that we have here tonight, that we have open before us, is a guide. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. A guide. That's what I need. When I was a young man, my Bible sat in the drawer and gathered dust. Those were wasted years. Wasted years. Wilt thou not from this time cry unto me, my Father, thou art the guide of my youth. For the 2 Chronicles chapter 33. Really, this is what Manasseh needed. Manasseh had a godly father in Hezekiah. Think of it. Is there one here tonight who has grown up in a Christian home like I was? Manasseh grew up in a very godly home, Hezekiah. And yet he said, I don't want to have anything to do with it. And the wickedness that he caused the nation to go through. You read it. Read the account of it. And it's terrible. It's terrible. I haven't got time to read it all. But what happened? God stopped that man. He stopped. And you know, if you go on in your sin, God can stop you. And thank God he stopped me. He stopped Manasseh. Let's read it. Verse 11. Because of his wickedness, wherefore the Lord brought upon them the captains of the host of the king of Assyria, which took Manasseh among the thorns and bound him with fetters and carried him to Babylon. Would you like to be like our brother Tim did this morning? Have it all those chains. That's what happened to Manasseh. He was carried away to Babylon. This wicked, wicked king. And when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God and humbled himself before the God of his father. You know, it says God speaketh once, yea, twice. God might have to speak to you as he did with me. He might have to shake you up like he did with a Philippian jailer. He doesn't want you to go on that course. He wants you to be saved tonight. What did he do? Verse 13, and he prayed to him. Oh, friend, tonight, have you prayed to Jesus? Here's a wonderful Savior that listens. A wonderful, wonderful Savior. A friend that you can talk to. There's a friend for little children above the bright blue sky. A friend who never changes, whose love can never die. What a friend we have in Jesus. Couldn't do without him one day. And he prayed to him. And he was entreated of him. And he heard his supplication and brought him again to Jerusalem unto his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord was God. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. God had to bring a great trial into Manasseh's life. This man, you might say, the chief of sinners. Sovereign grace. And like I say, there's so many here in this precious book that God administered sovereign grace to. Manasseh is one of them. Think of it. I can't even think of it. Grace. Grace. Great riches at Christ's expense. Let's go to the last one. Genesis 46. 46. Genesis 46 and verse 2. And God spake unto Israel in the vision of the night and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, Here am I. And God said unto Jacob, Jacob. Jacob. Oh, isn't that wonderful? He's calling your name here, friend, tonight. Jacob, Jacob, Peter, Peter, John, John, whoever it is. I like this because it says God speaketh once, yea, twice. This is one man of the seven in Scripture that God spoke twice to. And this is one man. Now I'm going to ask you, how would you like to have your life history written down in the Word of God? And I counted it up this morning, and it was 13 chapters. 13 chapters, I give or take. 13 chapters of the history of this man, Jacob. A trophy of God's grace. 20 years he was away from God, out of communion with God. He was a cheater, he was a schemer, he was a supplanter, he did all kinds of things. He made deals. And he says, Jacob, Jacob. And what do we find at the end of his life? There he is, by faith, Jacob. Worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff. 13 chapters of failure in this dear man. How'd you like to have 13 chapters written about you? I don't want 13 chapters written about me. No. You know something? All those sins that I've committed are all gone. All 13 chapters of them. All of them. Everything. Gone. Washed in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. My sins are all gone. How about you tonight? Are your sins gone? The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. My sins are gone. Amazing grace. It's grace. It's grace. Do you know this one? Do you know Jesus as your own personal Savior? Have you come as a guilty, lost sinner tonight before a holy God? He can save you tonight. Won't you come? God is pleading for your soul. You know, as our brother was saying last night, there was a prayer meeting in those rooms back there, praying for souls that in this room might still be lost. Are you going to leave the Lord Jesus out of your life? Are you going to wait for another day, another moment, another week, and decide then? Are you going to have that opportunity to be saved? My wife and I visited a lady not too long ago. She had something for sale, an advertisement in the newspaper, and we went to see her. And she greeted us at the door and let us in. She was very friendly. She was a nice woman. And she was 90 years old. She was spry. She had a lovely apartment in the West End. And she's very friendly. And a bonus, she was the next Newfoundlander. And we had a great time together because we were talking about home, where she lived and where I lived. And then we got to talking about the Lord. She was 90 years old, and she says, "There's no God. There's no God." Eternity was waiting for her, and she wasn't saved. What a tragedy to live 90 years in this world without Christ. I can't imagine one day without Christ. She was a humanist, an atheist. She had, in her young life, had been in a church or something like that, she told us. She had had a disaster in her life, and after that disaster, her husband was killed, and she was robbed and everything else. And since then, no God. No God. What kind of a God would allow this to happen in my life? I'll tell you, a loving God, just like Manasseh, just like Jacob, just like Mephibosheth. God wants to save her, wants to save you. 90 years old, what is the future for her? In a lost eternity forever. Pray. We prayed for her. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Could we sing that? Amazing grace, how sweet.
Ourselves to the Lord, loving the Father.